Okay, so this is their bonus podcast, fellas. I am the host, Donatas Urbanas. We have Augustas Šuliauskas, who is disappointed that some of the hot takes that Rytis Vyšniauskas had before we started officially recording the podcast won't go on air. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And this episode will be the benchmark why people will judge us until the start of the next season, probably. We're going to share our playoff predictions. And also, we'll react to the last play-in game because now we have the full playoff picture completely. Baskonia made it to the top eight. And now we can finally discuss the matchups that we're going to face. Your quick reactions before we start with the predictions. Your quick reactions following the Virtus and Baskonia game.
Well, before we start, Donatas, do I get something for making correct picks?
No.
For playing? Okay, thanks.
It was an easy bracket. if you had it wrong. With this one, so what? I mean, we're basically wrong with our takes all the time.
Wow. He said it was easy.
Wow.
You had Efes and Maccabi there.
Wow.
I'm the only guy who had Baskonia. I'm feeling good about my picks. It's hard to win twice away in the same week. And that is why I picked Baskonia, and Marcus Howard at home is just a different beast. And Dainius Rumša, I know you're watching. Please make a social post how I got the two picks right. Thank you.
Okay.
Now we can start talking about Marcus Howard, I think.
I think we should start from the GOAT. I think the game was won even before it even started.
Oh, okay. this guy is still talking about the
We're talking about
items.
Baskets.
Yeah, but that...
This is the basketball podcast.
But that... it's a basketball...
We're talking about the mascots.
But it's a basketball club that has a mascot who is the GOAT. And that GOAT really got the crowd going while the Root Sandstorm was playing in the background. It was fire. I was really impressed. Like, all the people had their lights out on their mobile phones. So the crowd was ready for this game, definitely.
By the way, Baskonia is really underrated.
They've proven that Baskonia has great fans. Yeah. Again, they have proven that. Now we can talk about the game, because that was also a very important part.
I think going into this game, like, everybody knew. Like, you guys knew, I knew, everybody from Virtus knew. Like, if Baskonia wants to win, it has to be Marcus Howard, because Chima Moneke is out. So this guy has to score like at least 25 points. And he just unlocked their offense, and there are not many guys, you know, to go on such a heater to score so many points in bunches. And he was shooting basically every time he touched the ball. I don't know how many possessions when he was on the court finished with other guys shooting it.
Bro, he had 3 assists.
Okay. That's way higher than his average.
I absolutely remember those 3 situations. There was one time where he swung the ball to the corner, an extra pass to Magic Costello, and he made a free. There was this other moment where he was penetrating, getting to the paint. He gathered the defense, gave the ball to Costello for an easy dunk.
Hmm.
Although I forgot the 3rd assist.
Marcus Howard.
I think it was also an extra pass on the perimeter.
Usage percentage was 48. That's freaking a lot. 48.
Every second possession, basically.
Wow. And
it looked way more than that.
And he only played like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Dusko Ivanović was doing these defense-offense substitutions throughout the whole game. Putting Vanya Marinkovic as a bigger body, then putting Marcus Howard to attack. Also, Rajeste was used as a defensive player for 7 or 8 minutes.
But it was just fun to see how in the 3rd quarter, when he changed the game, it was like a sluggish start to the 3rd quarter.
Yep.
And then they subbed him in. And the first possession, Virtus are so confused in the transition defense where Marcus Howard is. 2 guys are pointing to take him, either though he's like running on in the sidelines. And nobody, because of everybody's looking where Marcus Howard is, nobody picks up Cody Miller McIntyre, who has the ball. He just goes and lays it up and in. That's a layup. Then Marcus scores 2 3-pointers. Then the same situation happens. Then Cody Miller McIntyre scores a layup. And then this was like 10-0 run in minute and a half. And then it's like, I don't know, Marcus Howard is the most fun player to watch to me in this league this season. But at the same time, I think he's bad for the kids.
bad influence?
Like, these kids in Vitória next week are going to be trying some ridiculous shots that they should not be trying to do. And I hope they know that this takes a special talent to actually make and try those shots. But it's just amazing. It's so fun to watch. But at the same time, these kids are... I'm like, oh my God, they are going to try some ridiculous shots. But
I think all those kids are already damaged by Steph Curry.
It's too late. The damage is late. There's no chance to help them.
I don't think Marcus Howard has that influence.
But anyway.
19 three-pointer attempts. He was only two shots away from the EuroLeague record that belongs to Alexis Schwed, who once had 21. Marcus Howard attempted 26 shots in 25 minutes. And during the game, there was a situation where he already had 22 shot attempts in less than 20 minutes, which is also the EuroLeague high, all-time high. And, you know, just watching him missing the shot, then sprinting into the three-point line. And as you mentioned, Virtus players being confused who should go after him, who should cover the other guys. It feels like EuroLeague players still don't have that habit to try to contain such a streaky guard who is just like in a it's a matter of a second when he's attempting a layup, contested layup, and then he's at the three-point line and he's just making this three-pointer. It's just crazy to see him
Steph
play.
That's Steph Curry.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Steph Curry.
Yeah, for sure. You could see it in his movement, you know, even when after he misses the shot, they get the rebound, he runs around the three-point line. He runs to the ball or even on the sets when he doesn't get the ball. He's just running around like this, trying to get a hand off, trying to just see the basket because that's enough for him. Seeing the basket for like a second. That's why it is so fun to watch him. And to do that at the height that Marcus Howard is, I don't know when that's 5'10", 5'11", 5'9", it's special.
Hmm. Definitely. But also, other players contributed massively. And you mentioned Miller McIntyre. He was one of those guys that you kind of expect to lead the team. And in the first half, he basically didn't have much impact on the game. And then in the second half, he had these two coast-to-coast possessions, finishing with an end one, finishing with the layup, finished with like 8 points and eight assists, I think, close to another double-double. Dusko Ivanović got his rotation shorter in the second half, like to 7-8 players, and it basically worked. The key guys played 35-36 minutes and they managed this game, and I think playing at home was a huge advantage for them. But at the same time, let's not forget that they beat Virtus in a crucial last regular season game in Bologna, and Marcus Howard dropped 34 in Segafredo Arena as well. So Marcus Howard is giving nightmares to Virtus.
He's doing nightmares to say that to everybody.
In these two games against Virtus, his points average is 31.
Yeah.
31.
I mean, his overall points average in the last 12 games combined, the EuroLeague and the ACB, is 27.5. Yeah. So I think that he's given nightmares to everybody.
Well, not Maccabi.
Including kids in some way.
I think not Maccabi. I don't think he's giving any nightmares to that team.
He had 2 points against Maccabi, probably. This was that game? The only bad game in this stretch.
I think Antonio's Cleveland is sleeping well. I don't think he's having any nightmares about Marcus Howard. But huge respect to Marcus Howard for what he's doing here. And I think Baskonia is the place for him to do this stuff. Buesa is the best arena to play this free-flow, up-tempo basketball with a lot of transition frees, a lot of wild shots. I think this is where you can do that, even though your coach has the reputation of being strict. But Dusko Ivanović realizes that for them to win, he needs Marcus Howard.
Exactly.
That's the reaction. They started the third quarter with two turnovers, two sluggish possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate reaction was, Marcus, get in there.
Yeah, do your stuff.
He got on the court and he did his thing.
There was this picture with Dusko when Marcus Howard was taking this long range shot from 9-10 meters.
Logo
there
free.
Was this picture
logo
with Dusko
free.
Like, I don't like that shot, but it went in, so you cannot complain.
Yeah. You know how it was? It was, bad shot, Great shot, Marcus. Great shot, Marcus. From 9 meters.
You don't have a chance to say anything when Marcus Howard gets the ball. This is just how quick he releases the ball. You're not saying anything in that short
spot. While the ball was flying, it was bad. Great shot, Marcus. Great shot.
Hey, but I'm happy for Dusko because I was shocked that in the morning of the game day of this decisive game against Virtus, there were rumors in Spanish media that Jakalakovic is the main candidate to replace Dusko Ivanovic in Baskonia after the season.
Okay.
To me, this is crazy.
For 2 months and before Dusko comes back
that
again?
Should be the agreement.
That could have been part of an agreement. Maybe it's a new associate head coach role that Jakalakovic is being prepared for, you know, to coach the team for 2 months until Dusko comes back. Maybe that's the whole idea.
Who knows? You know, they're struggling in the ACB, so.
Yeah, that again shows how competitive the Spanish league is. The team that makes the EuroLeague playoffs at the moment is not making the ACB league playoffs. They're in the ninth position, one win behind. So it just shows how competitive the Spanish league is with non-EuroLeague teams like Unicaja, Malaga, or Tenerife, and some others. Murcia, Manresa.
And just the last thing to add, you know, although Virtus dropped like crazy from the third, fourth seed in the second half of the regular season, but I think that they should be proud of the season that they had. They were a real Cinderella story, and nobody expected them to be competitive until the last game night, to be in a competition to make the playoffs. They had some crazy games. They produced nice team basketball. They had this clutch of the year, player of the year, and Ife Lundberg. A lot of interesting moments, a lot of nice games, and you know they were that close. It's bad because it basically doesn't count, but from the whole experience, they should be proud of what they managed to create this season with Coach Luka Bank. Yeah, but we probably agree that the series between Baskonia and Real Madrid will be more entertaining, especially when you have a guy like Marcus Howard. But
yeah, that was my thought, actually. And I said it while closing the broadcast. I said, like, I have a lot of respect for Virtus Bologna, but I do believe that Baskonia has more spark in them to create a series versus Real Madrid, maybe steal a game. We know they have a habit of winning in Madrid, actually.
We can expand on that later.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that why I prefer maybe Baskonia to go through is because I believe they can have a series with Real Madrid, while Virtus Bologna, I would say Madrid would sweep them.
And actually, for the sake of the competition, I actually feel bad that FS didn't make the playoffs because of Shane Larkin, with Will Clyburn, yes, with the team that changed the whole landscape in the last 10 games.
That's also true.
They were in a position to make the series against Real Madrid kind of competitive. So
that is also true, but again,
should have played from the beginning.
This is the first time EuroLeague had a play-in tournament. And the funny thing is that the team that finished seventh in the regular season got the seventh seed, and the team that finished eighth got the eighth seed. So basically, it's all fair.
Yeah.
The same in NBA. All teams that were seventh, eighth got...
Yeah, Pelicans. Philly. Pelicans beat the Kings, and Miami beat the Bulls, yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the playoff predictions. We have four paper sheets with team names, and we're just going to write down the result of the series that we're predicting. We're going to start with Pau Maccabi, Olympiacos Barcelona, Fenerbahce Monaco, and Real Madrid Baskonia. We're going to give our prediction, and we're going to explain why, and we're also going to share our things to watch in this series that we're going to have. So first of all, Panathinaikos, Maccabi. Please,
who do you have, guys?
Show what you have to everybody.
3-2.
Pau Maccabi 3-2. Of course.
Hey, no way, bro.
Perit is going with Maccabi in four.
Look, I have to embrace the role and the character that was created for me. I didn't create it. It was created for
me.
Or
you're probably paid by somebody, and
or,
the contract,
or maybe,
you know,
I'm paid
is
by
until
somebody.
The end of
I
the
just,
season. So
I just have to go against Pau in every single scenario.
No, you have to expand, though, now.
I do have to expand. Okay, so first of all, why I'm saying Maccabi in four? Because it would be stupid to say Maccabi in five. I wouldn't see them winning game five in Oaxaca. That's why for them to win the series, I think the only way is to do it in Belgrade.
Mm.
Why I'm taking Maccabi? Well, first of all, you know from the last season that Maccabi and Monaco are two of my favorite teams. So I prefer Maccabi. That's the first thing. And the second thing, I think those teams are pretty evenly matched. Even though it's like a second seed against the seventh seed, if you look at the quality, if you look at the rosters, I think they're pretty evenly matched. And if Lorenzo Brown will play the way he performed in the playing game, if that means he's getting his rhythm, I think with Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown, they are as good as Panathinaikos is with Slukas and Nunn. Lesor versus Nebo, you have two top centers in the league right now. Bonzi Colson will be a huge difference maker in my eyes. I just don't think that Maccabi has any serious mismatches when you compare those two teams. So the biggest advantage for Pau is Oaxaca, in my opinion.
True.
And I think it's going to be an interesting series. It's very hard to predict. And I'm just picking Maccabi in a way for the sake of it, because I kind of knew that both of you guys will pick Pau. So just to have a discussion, I wanted to do something different.
I was actually going back and forth with this series because for all the reasons you mentioned, I also believe that Maccabi will make this series competitive as hell. And if you remember last year, I think that they improved from that situation. First of all, the core has stayed in Maccabi, and I think that now they have other players who are ready to step in the decisive moments, because I have no doubts that Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown, they're going to be performing like excellent. And it's up to other players. Last year, Maccabi couldn't close the series, although they won the game one. They couldn't close the series because in one game, Jarrell Martin was missing good shots. He was just terrible in the entire series from the three-point line, which was really important. Some other guys also didn't step up. You know, some others weren't executing well enough to help Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo Brown. Actually, I feel that this year, Bonzi also improving with them having this great mentality and character, because they're so united, you know. And especially the adversity when they face, it just makes them stronger. And it's one of the most united teams, one of the best well-oiled machines that we have in the EuroLeague right now with the continuity that we have. So that's why I think that they're going to win one game in Oaxaca at the start of the series, actually. But why I picked Pau in five, I think that they're going to recover in Belgrade. And since they have the home court advantage, I mean, they're going to have 19,000 people every night in Oaxaca. And I think that it will be a crucial factor to help them to win the series. But it's going to be way harder than a lot of people think. Because now we have this Discord channel for BN Plus members, and just before the podcast, I shared that we're about to share our playoff predictions in 10 minutes. And Lucas, who is Olympiacos fan, he says that Pau will win in 3 games, which is surprising. I think that it will be way more competitive. By the way, join BN Plus. Go to basketnews.com/plus, join BN Plus community, because we're going to have a lot of action on our Discord channel, because we're going to have Basket News crew members in all 8 playoff locations. So we're going to share a lot of behind the scenes stuff, a lot of interviews, articles, opinion articles, breakdowns by Augustus also coming out in the next few weeks. basketnews.com/plus.
I think this series is, you know, obviously Maccabi's offense or Pau's defense. And your guess probably depends on what you prefer. Do you prefer the defensive teams or do you prefer the offensive teams? And of course, the home court advantage. I think this year the EuroLeague playoffs are so, the teams are so evenly matched that the home court advantage is just going to be crucial. And we all know from history that to win a game five playing away is super hard in the EuroLeague. And I think this is going to play a huge part in this series as well. I have Pau in five. And I think social media made this series like about Wade Baldwin versus Kendrick Nunn. But the two teams, like Rita said, are so similar in how they are constructed. You know, it's all about the guards and the pick and roll play and one-on-one and guards creating for others. But the defenses that both teams have make the deciding players those that are around. You know, it's not a lot of shots are going to be taken by the guys who are, you know, Bonzi Colson, Mitoglou, Marius Grigonis. It will depend a lot on if these guys can make shots. So if it's more about, I would say, even the others and not those stars because of the way these two teams play defenses. So I think it's going to matter a lot. And I think key factor here, like key matchup in this series is Bonzi Colson versus Marius Grigonis. Like, and even probably Juancho will have to play a huge part in this series because rewatching the games that these two teams had in regular season, Maccabi found one problem in Panathinaikos, and it's the three guard lineup. Marius Grigonis playing at a small forward, and they just attacked it like 15 times in one game, the second game that they had. I know Kostas Lucas was not playing in that game, so that's huge difference maker. But at the same time, Maccabi went on a 17-1 run. Wade Baldwin just asks for Bonzi Colson to get a screen. He gets Marius Grigonis on him, and three times in a row, he scores one-on-one. And I think that's going to be a huge problem for Panathinaikos. They will have to figure out lineups. And sometimes in the playoffs, it's more about, it's not about who is the best team, but it's like, who can solve this problem now? And can Panathinaikos solve this problem? How they will adjust? And I think that's the biggest question. But at the same time, you have the home court advantage and the other team plays in an empty gym. That's, I think, a huge advantage.
Not completely empty, actually. In playing, I think they had some fans.
They almost ruined the whole broadcast with the flag waving.
That's true. I know it doesn't mean much, but...
I understand it's going to be super weird. Like,
but at the same time, I think it's super weird for the away team. Maccabi got used to playing in this strange environment. But for Panathinaikos, after you have this 19,000 people support, you have to play in an empty gym, which in the environment that doesn't remind the playoff experience at all.
Right, right.
So maybe it's a little bit harder, you know, to get fired up for the game. And maybe that's the advantage that Maccabi can use in their favor. Although speaking of those away game facts, all playoff teams are quite bad at playing away. I've checked their winning record against the top 10 EuroLeague teams in the regular season, how they were performing away. And only Madrid has a really good winning percentage. They won,
of course,
won four games. But other teams, nobody else won more than two. And Maccabi, the only away win that they got against a top 10 team was actually Panathinaikos in Oaxaca, but it was a different Panathinaikos. It was round 5 or 6
round
before
four.
Kendrick none
round
happened. Panathinaikos was struggling.
And that was,
you know,
an overtime
chemistry
game, right?
Issues. I don't remember the exact
setting. I think
setting,
it was an overtime game.
But it was a single time Maccabi won away against a top 10 team.
Maccabi swept the series. They won both games, but the first game was without Kendrick Nunn. The second game was without Lucas. Yeah. So that's a huge difference.
Although I think that Baldwin didn't play in the first game. I think that's...
I'm not sure about
the
first game.
It was 6 months ago, by the way.
It's different Panathinaikos back then. There was no none. It was a completely new team, so you can't really take that game for granted. And that's why I think the second game gives you a better glimpse of what we can expect in the series. I think Panathinaikos still has a lot to offer. You know, Kendrick Nunn is in a great shape.
Lucas really good.
Lucas is playing in a great shape. They will make it much harder for Maccabi to score than against Baskonia. You know, it's not going to be as easy. But
It was an overtime game, and Baldwin also didn't play. Not that it matters, but...
Yeah. So I
just
think...
Just to clarify.
I think this is going to be a super interesting series. Both teams have targets on the other team. And I think Pau defense hold here if they can control offensive rebounds of Maccabi and if other guys can make shots. So this
so
is why I
didn't
I think
see you have Pau in 5?
3-2.
Yeah. While I agree completely that Panathinaikos is a better defensive team, from watching Maccabi for these 2 years, I got a feeling that they can be good defensively when they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense is very specific, very unique. And I don't see that in EuroLeague. Like, their defense depends a lot on deflections, block shots, steals, jumping into passing lanes. Super aggressive, and also being physical. And they have a player like Antonius Cleveland who is slowly proving that he's like all EuroLeague defense team material. What he did against Marcus Howard and Baskonia was pretty impressive. I think he had a couple of great performances also in the last part of the regular season. So again, he might play a big role defensively on Kendrick Nunn, for example. At the same time, Panathinaikos have Jarryan Grant, who's in a discussion for Defensive Player of the Year award. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be great for basketball fans in general.
Yeah, and on top of that, although I agree with August, as I mentioned also, that this series will be decided on others, not in this Wade Baldwin's and Kendrick Nunn's matchup. But you cannot ask for a better matchup, you know, to promote or to make these series spicy, because we're having two amazing scorers and they're going to go at each other. I also watched this second game between Maccabi and Panathinaikos. They were just playing against each other.
They were guarding each other.
Exactly. They're both top five in EuroLeague in usage. Nunn is second with 32%. Baldwin ties for the fourth spot. Marcus Howard, of course, leads the league with 36%. They're both top four in the field goal attempts. Nunn is third with 13.5. Baldwin is fourth with almost 13. So, you know, there will be a lot of action between them two. And I just wonder how Wade Baldwin, you know, will accept this thing mentally, if he will be able to calm his game down, you know, with Nunn going at him, you know, on social media and stuff and just adding some extra pressure. But I just believe that it's going to be very, very interesting, entertaining series that we're going to enjoy. And it will be way more competitive than our BN Plus member Lucas thinks.
Although a sweep might not necessarily be non-competitive. Like, who knows? Maybe it's going to be 3-0 Panathinaikos, but all three games might be really close. So,
is this the series you're waiting the most? Because to me, this is the most exciting one.
I'm always looking forward to Rock Team.
Oh my god! We can't have a conversation with these two guys. It's incredible.
But that's the thing, when you have a favorite team.
In
the league that you're most excited to see them.
And Fener has Solon Siskiewicz.
That also makes the series even spicier.
Okay, the second series. Olympiacos Barcelona. Barcelona's playing at home. For some reason, I put Olympiacos as the home team. But
this was the hardest to decide for me, guys.
For me, it was the second easiest, actually.
Me too. Second easiest?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Okay, what do we have?
Olympiacos in four.
Can I start here?
Sure.
My logic says 3-2 for Barcelona.
Why?
But I just think because they can counter everything that Olympiacos have. And so my logic says 3-2 from what I see on the court. But I just think, I don't know, Olympiacos somehow are going to get this series. They're going to split the two games in Barcelona. And then they're going to win both games in Piraeus. And I think here, this is going to be a series of who have a better defense. These two teams are just incredible.
Top five in defense, right? Both.
Yeah, and in the last 10 games, I think, Olympiacos are number one. Barcelona are number four, I think, in defense. And two teams that have the best defense against three-pointers. It's just that Barcelona can counter everything Olympiacos have. They won both games this season. And they're just experienced. They know what Olympiacos want to do. They know their style. They know their tricks. I think most of the teams fall for those tricks are inexperienced because they just catch you off guard. I mean, Olympiacos and Barcelona don't have a lot of young guys, you know. So Vesely has the mid-range, so he can counter Mustafa Fall in his drop defense. I saw Barcelona being really great against switch all. Which Olympiacos this season used quite a lot with Mustafa Fall as well sometimes. So, you know, this will be, I think, can Olympiacos force Barcelona to play the slow game and to not allow to run, to make you make a lot of tough baskets? Can Thomas Walkup make three-pointers? Because Barcelona are going to go under. And last year, he was 2 of 18 or whatever, under 20% in the series against Fenerbahce. So Barcelona is really good on rebounds. Olympiacos, not so much. So they're going to have more possessions, probably. And but at the same time, I think a key matchup here is Alec Peters versus Jabari Parker. And it's going to depend a lot because Olympiacos like to switch. And can Jabari use the mismatches that he will have? Can Jabari punish Alec Peters? Or will Alec Peters punish Jabari for his off-ball movement? So at the same time, I wrote 3-1 Olympiacos because I think Olympiacos are peaking in the right direction just at the right time. They're healthy. And you have a completely new coach going against Yorgos Bartsokas in the playoffs. I think Olympiacos wins one game in Barcelona, and then it's going to be super hard for Barca to get back. But I see this as a really, really close series as well.
You mentioned that Barca has everything to counter what Olympiacos can offer, but I actually look at it at this situation from the same perspective, just from the opposite camp. Olympiacos has everything to match what Barcelona has,
right?
Starting from the front line, you know, both teams are defensive teams and they're really pretty similar match. You mentioned the head coach. He's not type of coach like Dimitris Etoudis was, you know, who made these series last year so complicated for Olympiacos, although they were the best team in Europe at the moment. I think that's what's important. And to me, why I put an advantage for Olympiacos is the momentum. Olympiacos is just in a great shape right now. All the players are finally healthy. When they lost this second time in January in Barca, they were missing players. It was January. They were basically in the middle of these injuries, new players coming in and out. It was a difficult moment for Olympiacos. But in the last month and two, they improved a lot. Their game, they gained the momentum. All the players now are healthy. And vice versa, Barcelona is in a kind of slump. When Ricky Rubio joined Barca, they won 4 games out of 8. Their offensive rating has dropped by 6 positions from the 5th best to 11th best. The defensive rating also got worse a little bit by 2. Now they're 7th best defensive team in the EuroLeague. So it feels like that Ricky Rubio playing an important role also kind of changed the dynamics of the team, especially in the offense, as we can see. So, you know, Barca is not in the best moment right now. Olympiacos is improving. Both teams are very similar, but I believe that Olympiacos will have an advantage.
I'm actually surprised none of you took Barcelona because I was really having a hard time here to decide. So,
and I wasn't. I just generally believe that full strength, completely healthy Olympiacos is a better team than Barcelona. They have a more experienced coach. They have a deep roster, but probably in a playoff series, Bartsokas is not going to dig really deep and he's not going to use his usual regular season rotations. But I think when they're all healthy, they are clicking. They have been together for a while. They have the chemistry. They are more consistent than Barcelona. Barcelona finished above with the same number of wins, but just because of the head-to-head advantage. But following both teams throughout the regular season, well, of course, Olympiacos had problems with injuries, but Barcelona was always so unpredictable. At some point of the season, yeah, it seemed that, like, they're going to fire Roger Grimaud. When they lost in Monaco by 20 and they were also beaten by Unicaja Malaga in Spain. But then all of a sudden they come back after Christmas and they start winning games again. So they're kind of unpredictable to me. And Olympiacos is very predictable, very consistent. You know what you're going to get from them usually. And what they do is actually winning basketball. So I think they belong in the Final Four. But it doesn't mean that I would definitely put them ahead in other series against some other teams. But against Barcelona, I do see them as the better team right now.
So for all three of us have Olympiacos.
Yeah, and all three of us have Olympiacos in 4.
My player to watch in this series will be Isaiah Kanan. I mean, we all know that Olympiacos, sometimes they're facing struggles offensively to close the games. And I think that's where his importance will be huge. And of course, the infamous shush that he had when he was playing for Kazan. And I mean,
so he's going to be a player to watch for Barca fans as well.
That's exactly what, that's the guy who will make the series spicy. You know, in the series, the new rivalries emerge and some old rivalries are refreshing, let's say. And, you know, for Isaiah, he has a lot of motivation. First of all, he's on an expiring contract. He's reading all these news about Keenan Evans. Now there were rumors about Tyler Dorsey, and he's one of the last and probably the last guy who is not under the contract beyond this season. There was this infamous shush. After that shush, he never scored more than 9 points in Palau Blaugrana. You know, he has to perform really well, you know, to help Olympiacos to overcome the home court advantage that Barcelona has. So a lot of is on his shoulders as well. So he will make this series exciting for sure.
I think in a way, although they are different players, but in a way, La Provitola does what Kanan can do for Olympiacos. I mean, he can change the flow of the game completely with his shot-making abilities, although they are different players. But to me, the player to watch, and I just have a feeling, I don't really have too many arguments, I just have a feeling that he's going to have a huge impact in this series is Shaq McKissick. To me, he is a player that he might not have the best averages, but when there's a very important game on the line, he will deliver. He has done it last year. He's done it this season in some big games. So now he's healthy. And I think he's going to be a very important player in the series.
His importance only grows every time there is an important match.
Yeah.
Every time the playoffs time comes, every time there is a semifinal or the final, his importance grows because in the last minutes, and he has the ball a lot. His speed is excellent and he can do so
and
much.
And he has damage. A lot of confidence.
Right. Teams, he has all the confidence.
Teams allow him to shoot, but he's going to shoot. And he has the confidence that he's going to make those shots. He is treated like a 28% three-point shooter, but he doesn't feel like a 28% shooter to himself. That's what I like about him.
And even if teams keep like 2 meters distance from him, he still gets to the rim because of how
because of his speed
is.
And athleticism.
That's crazy to me.
Okay, let's go with another series.
Monaco-Fenner, yeah.
Monaco-Fenner.
Just go, right, Monaco. For sure, Monaco wins. Oh, wow.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that, my friend?
Wow. I can't believe you wrote Fenner, actually. This is your team.
Maybe that's my way to
I have Monaco in five.
I also have Monaco in five.
It was probably the hardest series for me because I was going back and forth. And in the beginning, I was kind of sure that I'm going with Monaco in five. But I did this change like 15 minutes before the start of the podcast. And I will try to explain you why.
You better have good arguments right now.
I have good arguments. Easy arguments. I have no doubt that Mike James will perform at the MVP level that he has been on the entire season.
Even with Saras trying all the tricks on him?
Of course, it will have an impact, but he will be amazing. He was amazing last year when it mattered against Maccabi. He was an amazing leader on the court with his body language, with his game. He was spectacular.
That game five.
Game five was amazing, but that's where I want to start my argument. You know, speaking of Shar's tricks, I think that he will try to force Mike James to kick the ball out as much as possible.
For sure.
So now there's a responsibility goes on the other players. Who was a decisive factor in the last years series against Maccabi, except from Chima Monek in the fourth quarter, who made a difference and who actually pushed Monaco to the Final Four. Who was the guy? Who was playing like a guy? You know,
for Monaco.
Yeah,
John Brown,
Jordan Lloyd, in the Maccabi series.
Oh, you meant that? Okay.
He was averaging 23 points in games where Monaco won.
When they won.
In those two games they lost, he was averaging 2 points. My problem with Monaco is that Jordan Lloyd was not healthy this year. He played only 15 games. He didn't play more than 5 consecutive games during this regular season. And also, although he finished the regular season with few games, the momentum that he had last year to this year is incomparable. That's the first thing, you know, because I'm looking for the second man to step up to help Mike James to carry the load.
He'll be there.
Jaron Blossomgame is having a great stretch. In the last 8 games, he was averaging 11 points on 42% three-point shooting, which is crucial in a team with Mike James and in a team that doesn't have a lot of stretch options in the front line. Those guys will need to make three-pointers. And if Blossomgame will keep his momentum, if he will stay shooting these three-pointers at this range, that will be amazing. But the problem is that except from Blossom game, I don't see many other guys blossoming at the moment.
Wow.
See what I did there?
Nice, nice.
You see what I did there?
Wow.
I mean, Elia Kobo has been averaging like 10 points, but he has to step up his game. Last year, he was disappointing in the series against Maccabi. I've already mentioned Jordan Lloyd. Alpha Diallo has to overcome his shooting challenges because he can stretch the floor. He can be a quite reliable three-point shooter. But last year against Maccabi, he was getting Nick Calaitis treatment, basically. And he was also very bad at shooting the three-pointers. And again, Monaco, they don't have stretch four, a guy who could help Mike James in this kick-out situations and just spread the floor. So based on these reasons, I think that Fener will manage to win the series in five.
Okay. I have to agree that for Monaco to beat Shara's tactics, they have to be better at making three-point shots. They still have this issue, an ongoing issue for 2 years in a row. Like, they are a very good team, a super solid team, with the MVP on their roster, with elite guards, but at the same time, they're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. So, of course, to beat Shara's tactics, you need these guys that you've mentioned to make shots consistently. It's going to be a great series. To me, a player that could make a huge difference actually is the Lithuanian, Donatas Motiejūnas, because Fenerbahce centers are So I think at center position, if Motiejūnas plays good, plays hard, Monaco might find an advantage because he's versatile. He has all the moves in the post. He can hit an occasional free, a couple of pick and pop actions. Who knows? He might hit some three-point shots in the series. So I think he's gonna have a big impact. Shadas will be prepared, we know that. Of course, life for Mike James will not be easy. Fenerbahce is a really good team, a really dangerous team. If it wasn't for my, let's say, support for Roka team, I'm not sure if I would be predicting them to win the series.
So this is a biased pick, right?
A little bit. But I do see this going to game five, one way or another. I do see this going all the way. Fenerbahce, in some games with Shadas, I think they seemed unplayable with their spacing, with the way they were making shots. But then in some other games, it seemed like they have weaknesses to expose. So we'll see what happens. Of course, you talked about Monaco guards. Fenerbahce also has Wilbekin, Dorsey, Guduric, Nick Calaitis. We know how they're gonna defend Calaitis. Again, you never know if Scotty Wilbekin is gonna have one of those off nights where he's just not making his shots, or is he gonna be on fire throughout the whole series. Dorsey, he's a rhythm player, maybe not really happy with his role right now in the team, but they need him. I think they need him on the court to help.
Yeah, that's why I had all these doubts. I mean, that's why 15 minutes ago before the podcast, I thought that Monaco will win the series. Fenerbahce is not a perfect team. They have their own weaknesses. They have players out of momentum. They have inexperienced players. Like, I believe that Motley will be in foul trouble in every game. John Brown is going to average like 5 charges per game. Donatas Motiejūnas, with all of his tricks inside the paint, also he will do his part. So it's not going to be an easy victory.
And I mentioned Demo, but at the same time, I think that we will see a lot of Monaco small ball lineup with John Brown at 5 and Blossom game at 4.
You know, Ritis said all these things, and yeah, I understand you're picking Monaco because you like them, just like with Maccabi, I think you did.
In a way.
But at the same time, I think Fenerbahce have more questions than Monaco has. And it's, again, I'm betting on Monaco's defense here and their home court advantage. You mentioned that Sharas will make the life for Mike James as hard, but at the same time, if you want to double team him, you have to have the necessary people to do that. And, you know, Maccabi is probably the best team to have because they have lengthy bodies, athletic players, and Josh Nebo around the rim, who is just, you know, you're scared to shoot in the paint when he is there. You have to shoot from further back. Fenerbahce, I don't think, you know, they don't have a center who can really fly around the court, who can be a great rim protector. So that defense is becomes that defense becomes a little bit more difficult to execute. The same time, you if you have Tyler Dorsey on the court, if you have Scotty Wilbekin, they are either, you know, targets on defense and or they are smaller. It's not like you have Maccabi's length defensively, I would say, to play that double team defense. Mm. Mike James can just ask to have Nick on him, to have Scotty Wilbekin setting the pick, to have smaller guards against him, and he can get his own shot anytime he wants to. I agree that it will depend a lot on if Monaco can make free pointers. So I wrote 3-2 for Monaco because I think I think they get into a rhythm in the first game. You mentioned Blossom game shooting 50%, I think, in the last 10 games. Alpha Diallo, okay, he's at 32%, but Jordan Lloyd is going to be there.
Yeah.
And
I expect to see his peak Jordan Lloyd.
He's going to be there one pass away from Mike James. So if you double team, he's going to be the guy attacking, and you don't want, you know, him attacking in the closeouts. Yeah. At the same time, why I wrote Monaco in 5. Monaco has John Brown, and you know, that's not a great matchup, I think, for Nigel Hayes-Davis.
Oh, yeah. That's, he will decrease his averages.
So I think that's a tough matchup. I think John Brown is key here because defensively, we all know what he can do.
And even Blossom game is not an easy matchup.
Exactly. And you know, Fener likes to use the post-ups of these guys. Plus, can John Brown make those jump shots that Fener will give him? So I think both teams are going to be ready, not only Šarūnas Jasikevičius, but also Saša Obradović. But I think Monaco holds because Fener have more questions. Monaco have more, you know, places where they can punish that team. And Monaco has their weapons, have a better defense, home court advantage. I think they'll hold, but it's going to be a tough series and there are going to be a lot of strategic moves by both coaches here.
So we're predicting a 5-game series and you were laughing at me saying that this is the best series. We're all free agree that it's going to be a 5-game series.
No, laughing from you?
Yeah, because you said like Panathinaikos and Maccabi is the most exciting series. I said, no, it's Monaco, Fenerbahce. And you were kind of laughing.
No, I was laughing because you said that it was the second easiest to decide.
This wasn't. I meant Barca Oli was the second easiest for me to decide. The easiest was obviously Real Madrid Baskonia.
Yeah, whatever.
So, no.
It's okay.
It's okay, yeah. But I agree with you absolutely that for Monaco to win, they need Jordan Lloyd. And I count on Jordan Lloyd a lot. I expect to see him delivering.
He has track record of delivering when it matters.
Yeah.
It happened last year in the playoffs and in the French League finals. I mean, he won the MVP award. But again, as I mentioned, you know, it was a different situation for Jordan Lloyd
this season.
Yeah. And that's huge. But I think that it takes only one guy to step up from the guys I mentioned. If Okobo, you know, becomes a franchise player in the series for Monaco, it will be huge.
I don't put my hopes on Okobo, sorry. Yeah, man.
That's the problem.
I put my hopes on Jordan Lloyd.
I cannot trust him yet.
I put my hopes on
if
Jordan
Diallo
Lloyd.
Will
I hope he's
series.
Feeling great. Yeah. I hope he's going to have a great weekend. Rest, sleep, prepare, feeling good. And then he's going to kill Fenerbahce with his jump shots.
Can Peter Cornelier become a factor in this series?
Man, you keep pushing Cornelius' name from the start of the season.
I don't know.
I
man.
Hope he will be like.
I doubt, man.
Because they need shooting, but
I don't know, man. I thought he can have an impact
before the season
when they signed him, but throughout the regular season, I didn't have the feeling that he's the right fit for this team.
Yeah,
so I don't think he's gonna be the guy in the playoffs.
Still, Monaco in 5. Good luck, Donatas, in Monaco.
No problem. Mike James is not talking to me until the series are over. That's fact.
Until he wins the series.
Exactly. That's what happened with Maccabi last year. I also picked Maccabi over them in
really?
5. Yeah. And they just went after me on Twitter.
Again.
After it happened.
And they have the home court advantage. Again. And you're picking Fener.
Yeah, I'm just, trying to inspire them, to motivate them, to give them another reason to be better. In the series.
Podcasters inspiring teams to win is like the most ridiculous thing
but
I've ever
so underrated. It's so underrated. Really. I just spoke with Nigel Hayes-Davis. Man, the motivation that he has because of us. Wow. I was surprised.
I don't get it, honestly. I love to speak. I love to share my opinions. But at the same time, I don't think they mean much. I followed Jurgen Klopp's mentality when he once said, like, the media say a lot of things. Sometimes they are right, but it's always not important. That's how I feel about our podcast. It's fun for us, fun for the viewers. I don't think it should have any impact on the players, though.
Or not as much as you're saying. I mean, do you don't have a motivation to go to the Final Four and win the series? It doesn't matter what we're talking about.
It's just some dudes talking about basketball. I mean...
Oh, but it's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. We're impactful.
Good luck. Good luck to both teams. Good luck to Nigel Hayes-Davies.
Okay, Real Baskonia, the last series that we have.
Do you have Baskonia winning a game here?
That's the biggest question. That's the biggest question.
I'm gonna be nice for Baskonia. I love the way they delivered. I think that Marcus Howard can have one crazy night. That's why I put one win in Vitoria in front of this crazy crowd. Wow, you made this zero like a donut, actually.
It is a donut. Yeah. I would love a donut right now.
It is a donut.
I didn't have any breakfast, so...
I'm sorry.
You're teasing me. Some good breakfast place on the corner.
I have a Snickers on the table waiting for me.
They haven't paid us, okay? So don't do the publicity.
Listen, first of all, I'm predicting a sweep. But
me too.
I don't think it's going to be boring. I think it's going to be an entertaining series. But if Madrid protects their home court, being up 2-0, going to Buesa... I don't think there's much of a chance they're not closing that series. Madrid is just too good. They were cruising in the last month of the regular season. They lost some games. They lost to Baskonia. I don't take that too seriously. I know with the experience that they have, with all the characters they have in the locker room, when it's playoff time, they're going to be serious. There's not going to be any more joking saving energy or any of that stuff. They're going to be serious, and they're just too strong.
Yeah,
right. They're just too strong.
That's actually the first argument that I have. Madrid is just too good.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm not going to say that Baskonia lacks this or that. Baskonia is a nice team, but, I mean, just Real Madrid is too strong. We don't know if Moneke will be ready or not.
Probably not. It will be a big surprise if he joins this series.
A huge loss for Baskonia.
He was averaging 11 points and 9.5 rebounds against Madrid's front line. So that's huge. That was a huge part why they were competitive in both games. Won and lost the first one by two.
And my prediction in more depth is that two out of these three games will be close. I think one game in Madrid will be close. One game in Madrid will be sort of a blowout. And the last game in Buesa will be close. But Real Madrid will prevail in all three occasions. That is my prediction.
I think two games in Visning Center are not going to be close.
Okay.
And then the last game, the third
should
game.
Should be close.
Yeah, should be close. But is without Chima, I don't see this shorthanded Baskonia team having any chance in this series. Yeah, Marcus Howard, we saw what he's capable of. But the time Baskonia played against Madrid was cruising. And then they just relaxed and played a defense like it was like they were playing in their backyard, like they were playing a pickup game. And you don't really need to play defense. So I think their intensity will be way higher. We already saw that in Kaunas. I think they will be ready. I think Chus Mateo, you know, will make them play hard. And it's not much that Baskonia can offer. You know, they can offer free pointers. That's what they can offer basically in this series, because Matt Costello is there at the five.
He will play more.
They can stretch to four. But at the same time, defensively, you already have one of the worst defenses in the league. You don't have Chima Moneke, who was making a big impact for your team to have a little better defense. So I don't think three pointers can get you far. You can't make three pointers in like three games out of five.
Yeah, it might
crazy
get
percentages.
You one win.
Exactly.
If you shoot like crazy,
it's just
you have a team and a player who shoots
so,
like
yeah,
crazy.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It might get you one win if you have that one night.
Yeah, that's.
But
why
at the
I
same time,
game for Baskonia to win.
It's like Baskonia can score 100, but Madrid is a team that can easily score 110 on your head.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of hard to beat Madrid at their game.
In every position. You know, there is a bigger body, there is a stronger, you know, player. You have great pick and roll guys, you have post-up threats. So I think it's 3-0.
Yeah.
Why were you looking at this one?
I don't know. To me, it's, I imagine
this
Panathinaikos fans' reaction when they see Rytis pick against Maccabi.
Player to watch in this series?
I mean,
for you,
Marcus Howard for sure. He will make it exciting. He's the reason why this series will be interesting to watch. And even if that's a sweep, I just expect high scoring game, high pace game. Marcus Howard scoring between 30, 40, maybe even more. It will be nice.
I think player to watch, Gershon Yabusele and his defense.
I pick Facuku Campazzo and his passing abilities because it's going to be a lot of open court basketball and you will see a lot of his needle passes and every spectacular thing that he can do with a basketball in his hands.
This is going to be beautiful, I think, series from the
basketball
that you will see.
It's
going
to be fun to watch.
Is it going to be healthy for kids, Augustus? What do you think?
Mm.
Bad for kids, right?
No, I'm kidding.
Hey, well, guys, once again.
I actually embrace Marcus Howard as a role model for the kids. You have to enjoy this game. You don't have to suffer. If you feel like you can take 20 shots and
exactly
and hit from deep range,
I was kidding because to me, I don't know if I said it, but to me, I think Marcus Howard enjoys basketball the most out of any guy in the EuroLeague. Because it's the true. Way he plays, everybody would want to play in their lives at least once. To pull up from 9 meters in the transition from behind the three-point line, that's like dreams are made of, you know? to have a heat check moment like he had yesterday, that's the moment you're thinking about.
And
so
lead the league in scoring, lead your team to the playoffs. We're not
Let's not forget that, we put Baskonia really low.
We're not talking about some
rankings.
Title contender. We're talking about Baskonia, who's always a nice team. They're always there in the mix, but you never sort of expect them to be in the Final Four.
Mm.
And now they're overachievers. So, you know, they're in a good position. So, once again, share your playoff predictions in the comments below. And that's one thing that you have to do for sure is joining BN Plus community on basketnews.com/plus. Once again, a lot of content is going to be delivered throughout the series because we're going to have our guys in Monaco, that's for sure. Athens, yeah. Vitoria, Madrid, Barcelona, all these EuroLeague playoff destinations. We're going to deliver a lot of behind-the-scenes content on our Discord channel. For instance, during the podcast, I've texted that, spoiler alert, Rytis will make Panathinaikos fans go crazy about his prediction. That's the insight that we sometimes share on our Discord as well. So be sure to join this community because it's an amazing platform to me. This is not only European basketball fans that are chatting about basketball. They also have some good jokes. You know, Augustas just quoted Savas from Turkey, who had some nice trash talk toward Will Clyburn on BN Plus community chat. So, you know, it's a great chance to talk to basketball fans from all over the world because we have some great American viewers like Charlie, for instance. Adam Zewert is one of the last guys who
Charlie is probably still dreaming about Vaidas Karnauskas.
probably. Yeah, you see, we have some history with BN Plus.
And also, we are trash talking often.
Also, don't be shy and don't hesitate to hit me in the DMs to tell me how I don't know anything about basketball, how I should grow a normal beard, how I'm stupid for picking
Wade
Baldwin ahead of Kendrick Nunn. Just
Rytis haircut reminders. I'm missing that. I'm missing this part.
For the playoffs, I booked an appointment for Tuesday.
Okay. You're good. Because the next show
I just waited for the playoffs.
Thursday. Yeah, it's on Thursday. Yeah, so we're going to be on an intense or bonus schedule. We're going to record the podcast after every playoff round while we'll be traveling. Gitis, we're going to change me as the host, but it's for sure going to be fun. Thanks a lot one more time. Rytis Vyšniauskas, Augustas Šuliauskas, Donatas Urbonas, and Mantas Ramelis behind the camera. See you very soon.